Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today, it's a special, special day, because every day is a special day. It's the lovely and hilarious Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Well, hello. Thank you. Hi.
Hi. Ronnie and I are here, not just recording audio, but we're also called recording video, because it's a Crappens on Demand day. If you don't know what Crappens on Demand is, it's where you get to actually watch us record, not just listen. Go to patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens, and if you sign up at the Crappens on Demand level, you get to watch us. You also get access to our wonderful Discord server community. Hi, Discord people. And you also get access to our weekly bonus episode. We haven't recorded it yet this week, but it's always very fun. So we really encourage you to do that to get the full Crappens experience. So again, that's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. Ronnie, what's going on with you? How are you today?
I'm good. So I went and got a chemical peel today for the first time.
Yes.
So yay, my first chemical peel. I just feel like I've finally graduated into middle age where I'm like, okay, that's what we do now. Time to go get a chemical peel and talk about skin for an hour with some lady I don't know and won't shut up. Bless her heart. So I'm shiny. So you know why they call it a chemical peel? I found out today.
Why?
Because they put chemicals on your face. Then it peels.
Mm. Okay?
And she's like, here's what happens. It's going to burn, which it does. And I'm shining. I look like a doll today. And then tomorrow I'm going to look like a dragon. And then for 2 weeks, I have to hide inside and look like a dragon. And then 2 weeks, I can go in the shade. And then I go in for another one. So I'm like, how does this work? Do you just become a mole person?
I think so. It sounds like it. I mean, you see when things go wrong. Remember, there was that one Real Housewives of New York vacation where Ramona like went out too prematurely and she had blotches all over her face. By the way, shout out to Bueller, who's just arrived in the background of your screen. Getting
Bueller got a chemical peel as well.
He did. I can see. He looks radiant. before we get into today's recap of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, we have something exciting to share, okay? We want to let you know that there is a Watch What Crappens hotline. That's right. The Watch What Crappens hotline, presented by Xfinity Mobile, at Xfinity Mobile. Dial 213-725-7043 and submit your burning questions on the latest and greatest from Bravo. And basically, just record a voicemail for us. And you might just hear it on an upcoming episode right here of Watch What Crappens, with some original takes from these two Bravo nerds, okay? So, again, the number is 213-725-7043. Leave us a voicemail question, and, maybe we'll read it on the air. So, just want to give everyone a shout-out about that.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. So, it's kind of like a callback to our old Crappens mailbag.
Yes, except it's voicemail bag almost. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, really excited to hear
what
you guys
have to say. We don't get to interrupt because it's a voicemail, you see? So Ben should start doing this podcast so we can finish a sentence.
anyway, so everyone mark down that phone number. And now let us dive.
I can't even look at myself. Like I
Ronnie,
look,
you look
it's
wonderful.
A Christmas ornament, and I look like a fucking Christmas ornament. I really do. I'm like, I'm not sweating. It's just like some weird shine. And everything's so smooth. I don't think I like it. I don't know how young people walk around like this.
Ronnie, I think you have to just lean into the shine, okay? We've all seen shiny faces before. No one is judging you for it. Everyone understands that you're post-peel, and it's okay.
I'm pre-peel. Oh, yeah, you're right. Pre-actual peel. Because tomorrow I'm going to look like a dragon.
Post-prestige pre-peel. P-P-P-P. Okay.
I'm just going to cover my face.
Tomorrow you'll just be in a veil. So
I would like the next decade of this podcast to be just me, just different every time you see me, like a Real Housewife. Like I started with Botox and I got my teeth lightened, and then I got a little chemical peel, and then I'm just going to start nipping and tucking, and sometimes I'll come on like Siggy in her first episode with just a whole face thing where I'm just in a face cast for a month. I can't wait. It's going to be a fun journey, guys.
It'll be great. I'm excited for you. So speaking of fun journeys, let's go back to Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. We had a big cliffhanger. The cliffhanger was that a tray of chicken tenders has arrived at Diana's party, and Erica has just turned. I could just end it right there. That the cliffhanger in Beverly Hills is that chicken fingers arrived. Everyone's like, chicken fingers. But actually, it's that Erica turns to Crystal and says, you can't have this. It's a chicken tender.
Yeah, Porella DeVille over there. What is she doing in that Cruella DeVille coat? Like, she looks like she just killed 30 puppies, Erica, at this Christmas party. And also, why does Diana have chicken tenders at her party? You're rich.
It is odd.
I expect more than sliders and chicken tenders with ranch, okay?
Maybe it was a request from Asher.
Probably. It's like mac and cheese and chicken tenders.
He probably has all sorts of twee requests. Like, oh, honey, we gotta have chicken tenders. Because growing up in Ohio, we always had chicken tenders at every party. I don't know if he's from Ohio, but he gives me that vibe. I feel like he would say that sentence.
So, yeah, she's like, you gotta have this. It's a chicken tender. Which is also kind of an Asher, really, if you think about it. And Crystal's like, she doesn't really know how to take that. And so then Erica just saunters off in her long, stupid coat. She's like, all right, I need another drink. Where are those puppies? Bring me a puppy. And then Rinna's just staring blankly. Rinna's in that point in her season. And we see at the end of the episode, when we see the coming next week or whatever, Rinna does eventually go crazy this episode. Mm-hmm. But right now she's in that Rinna mode where she's just kind of like a blank station. Have you ever turned on your TV? You have a smart TV, right? Do they have like those smart TV stations? Like mine has LG stations, and you turn it on, it's like the Real Housewives, I mean, Beverly Hills 90210, the station. And it's just Jenny Garth.
Is that Jenny Garth calling? Oh, I heard your call. Do you need an interview? Hi, I'm Jenny Garth from the 90210 station.
But that's the look Rinna gives, where you just turned it to a random smart TV station, and she's just looking at it like, well, I don't have anything to do today, so I guess I'll just watch this. It's this blank look, like she hasn't really shown up at school yet, you know?
She's deciding what she's going to do, her next move. I love that you compared Lisa Rinna to a Jenny, like a native television station to like a smart TV station featuring Jenny Garth.
That's what it always turns to, that or the World Series of Poker. I mean, I've watched so much poker, not even meaning to, just because that was the station I kept turning it to on accident while I ate my lunch.
I'm gonna explore these TVs that are. I've got an LG also. I want to see what stations. Maybe they'll be like a James.
They're
Lee's.
Below zero.
Oh, yeah,
below zero. Just wow. Go below zero.
Okay.
Yeah, there's some crazy shit on there, Ben.
Below zero Mediterranean. So
it's next. Don't put it past them, Ben. Don't put it past them.
So Kathy walks in. She's not walking in, but she's still making her around to be like, I'm back, everyone. So she goes and she kind of like fist pumps. She gets mittens, I guess she says, to Cherie. And she's like, I'm trying to think of when the last time I saw you. And Cherie's like, I don't think you've ever seen me, Kathy. And Kathy's like, oh, no, of course I have. I don't forget faces. She's like, I don't know. I think this might be our first time meeting. She's like, I definitely would have known if I'd met Kathy Hilton before. That's what she's saying.
Sheree is doing that really high pitch, like you're talking to someone that you don't know if they can hear you, like a really elderly person, you know, like, it's time for your Jolo, Mima. You know, she's definitely got that.
She is. Yeah.
So and Kathy's like, well, with my eyes, you never know, do you? Because I have crazy eyes. And then we see a clip of her thinking Garcelle is Kyle. Which, you know, is Kathy. Except that now that there's two black people on the cast, part of me is like, you know, Kathy just thought that was Garcelle. You know?
I know.
I mean, part of us all had to think that.
Yeah, I think that's why she suddenly just walked away, because I think she realized, oh, shoot, I'm about to this is about to turn bad for me. I'm gonna walk away. Yes. My eyes.
I don't know how Kathy's regular vision, but I know her white lady vision is probably pretty blurry. Okay, I'm gonna say that.
What are you talking about? She learned everything about race from Michael Jackson. So meanwhile, then we see Asher by like a music stand, and he's like, ma 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 ma. Be our guest. Ma 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 ma.
Beauty and the Beast. Damn it, Mother. I am going to get in that role. He's like swinging for the Beast. He never makes it. He's just always Chip. He's Chip swinging for the Beast role on tour. Yeah. But yeah, he's warming up. And then Diana's like, let's go inside for a bit. My fuckboy going to sing. So they all go in and now they have to. Now, listen, I was that kid where my mom was like, okay, Ronnie's going to sing a song for Christmas. Ronnie, do it. And then my cousins would all just sit around like, go for it. Go sing, go ahead. We all want to hear it, you know. And I was always so traumatized by it. But Asher's not traumatized by it, and that both makes me jealous in a way, but also it makes me hate him, you know. At least yeah. I had the self-respect to be traumatized by doing shit like this, Asher.
Well, Asher was the cousin. Asher was never asked to be the one to sing, and that's why he's so eager to sing now. He's like, finally, my moment. Also, I thought it was really funny as they all enter in. Lisa Rinna like sits down on the sofa and she just yells. She doesn't just say it. She yells. She goes, I'm going to sit right here if that's okay. I'm like, okay. Thank you for the giant announcement, Lisa.
So Rinna is also doing the elderly home care worker voice this whole time. She's like, wow, I'm going to sit in this chair. Is Asher going to sing? Is he going to sing?
So, crazy. So then Erica's like standing at his like little music stand and just like reading his what he's gonna sing, and Asher comes over and he's like, you can't read those, girl. Get you know. He was pissed, but also like it sort of sounded like he was gonna sing like an original song when he said that, and it was just like a standard Christmas carol.
I know. I'm glad you need a music stand for this Christmas carol that you're about to do, Asher. But Erica was just confused because normally Erica walks into a room for a show and they take those out of the room. You know, she's like, hey, why are we leaving this here? Why? What is this thing?
Yeah, it's so the first time Erica, seeing musical notes.
Yeah. So Diana's like, oh, yes, Erica, with your Broadway background, come sit by me, person I'm being nice to for no apparent reason right now. Come sit by me.
So then Asher's like, hello everyone. Hello everyone, welcome. Everyone's looking amazing tonight. I'm gonna bring you I call A Taste of Christmas, performed in the style of Royal Caribbean's Journey to Barbados cruise line. Okay, everyone, are we ready?
He's like, oh, holy night. I was like, stop, just stop, okay? Because first of all, he can sing, you know? I mean, he did play Chip, okay? So yeah. He can sing, but that start, that, it's like, no, please don't do this to me. Please, yeah, not on Christmas.
Listen, he didn't sound bad, but he didn't sound great. He was fine. Not good, not bad, just nice. And
he was good, I thought. He was good. Yeah, it's just the way good. He just does it's that cheesy thing where he's like, I'm a sexy singer. So he's like, holy night. I was like, would you stop trying to get everybody to wet the couches when you're singing about the birth of Jesus? You know what I mean? This is not like a come fuck me song, sir.
Yeah.
Okay? This was written about someone who was born to a virgin. There was not even sexy times leading up to the song, sir. Can we stop trying to give people boners?
I feel, you know, to me, it sounded very much like we could have been in Tomorrowland. Like we could have been getting hot dogs and someone was singing songs at Disney. Like, it felt very amusement park. And like people who sing at amusement parks sing well, but they just sort of, there's just sort of like that X factor sometimes that's missing. So,
oh, well, I'm not saying shit about theme park singers because that's a crew you don't want to mess with. Okay.
I know.
You've never had a lunch ruined until a Cinderella flops a fucking tray of SpaghettiOs in your face. Okay. You don't want to fuck with those people. They're mean bitches.
Listen,
I'm telling you that right now. You know
what? People say that I'm too nice on this podcast. So, you know what? I'm finally taking a stand. I'm saying he sounds like an amusement park.
Taking a stand against a minimum wage Cinderella. Good for you.
No, I'm not taking a stand against them. I'm taking a stand against Asher, okay? Because what I'm saying is they were acting like this was freaking Liza Minnelli and Dana Delaney here. And no, it's Tomorrowland. That's what it is, okay? But Diana has like a lady boner, and you know she has one because she starts puckering her lips. It's like the only time that her tongue is not working overtime is like when she gets her lips, she's like,
She's doing that squint, like her proud squint. And when he gets to the fall on your knees, I was like, we don't need your resume. My God. Just sing the song, sir.
So that, and then Kathy starts to cry. Kathy's like doing, or like she's pretending to. She's wiping something. So as soon as she starts to cry, then everyone starts to pretend to cry because everyone wants to do what Kathy's doing. So then everyone is suddenly like, Kyle is like trying so hard. She's like splashing. She's taking like cups of water and pouring them on her eyes. And she's like,
that was so a lot sad. Of that was a lot of pantomime tears for sure. And Renica's like, Renna's like, it is so magical. It is so magical. It's like what happened to the cold zone before it became the hot zone. Magic. And Erica, meanwhile, is chugging, and she's like, he's like, Noelle. She's like, Noelle. Oh, holy fuck. My pussy's like a python. Oh, my God. It's like, shut up. Bless her heart. Can't sing at all, you know?
Yeah.
How many fucks do I give? Zero. Zero. Oh, holy my. How expensive is it to be?
It's like, Erica, you lost the thread there.
So Garcelle's just looking at her like, oh. And she tells us, I think that Erica probably misses the spotlight. And you know, this is the kind of spotlight that Erica is usually in. She's usually in a benefactor's home, just like Asher. You know, it's like kind of a mirror story if you think about it. Asher is in Tom. Asher is the Erica, you know, and Tom is the Diana. And here sits Erica looking at her old life where she was the twink up at the microphone that everybody had to pretend to give a fuck about.
You know, I've doubted the level of Erica's drunkenness all season. I felt like some of it has been played up for antics, but now I think she really is wasted because Erica doesn't normally sing live, I feel like. I don't think we normally ever get to hear Erica's voice. She's normally singing to track. She's like letting that voice fly. And
oh, we've heard her, don't you remember?
I mean, outside of a vocal lesson, I was like, oh, she's letting it out. All of that voice right now.
Yeah. It's like a whole bus full of Muppets crashing into a, you know, mountain at one time. But it's also that she was acting like she was a real artist before because Tom was paying for her to have this career and renting out places for her to go sing in and tour in. And he was buying all of her singles that came out. For all of those of you who are like, where did she spend $20 million? iTunes, okay, mostly. But yeah, she's used to pretending that she is an artist. So she would be like, I'm not singing live because that's what I do. It's my art. How dare you? But now that she's not. She's like, but I am an artist. Look at me. Oh, holy moly.
So then, like, Asher is, like, approaching the big note. The big note of the song. And then Erica's like, hit the high note. Which we all know he's not. No one's going to be able to do that in this room. Like, there's no one in this room that's hitting that high note. And
he didn't. I was surprised that he didn't even go for that note. I was like, come on, Asher. You've got a freaking $100 millionaire over there sponsoring your little audition on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. You're not even going to put this in a key where you can hit that note. Pathetic. Yeah. Get out of here. Twink fired. Twink cut him.
I know. I was upset. I wanted him to go for that note. He couldn't do it, though. He wasn't able to do the big note. I mean, I think Erica would have swung for it, at least. I will give her that.
But yeah, she really did. When she's like, all right, go for the note. No way!
No
The house starts shaking. You just go outside, some mudslide. The houses are just sliding down the hills of Beverly.
Tom's car comes down the cliff.
The son's car goes flipping over the house 5 times.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So Crystal's basically saying that Erica has had too much to drink and her behavior is not respectful. And then Erica does something we've never seen her do. A falsetto. I was like, this is she's wasted. She's doing a false.
Yeah, it wasn't good. So then, you know, it's after the song, everybody's horrified, you know, and for many reasons, a lot of different reasons. Chicken tenders while watching someone's child bride not go for the Noel. Plus, you've got Erica there, you know, so everyone's horrified. So everyone's like, Merry Christmas! Everyone, Merry Christmas! And they're making small talk and telling Kathy they love her bag. And she's like, this bag is an antique, basically. It's basically an antique.
And someone's like, it's from last season. She goes, well, that's an antique in Beverly Hills. Look at Kyle's face. Am I right, everyone? Zing.
Now, wasn't this the same bag that Diana was carrying around? Because it had, that she said was like $250,000. I'm trying to impress everybody. I'm not a bag queen, but I'm asking because it was a little black bag with big diamonds on it, which is what Diana was like. Oh, these diamonds alone are worth the price of 3 Estonias. Yeah.
I don't know, but I'm going to just say yes, because it's more funny that way, or also known as funnier. I wrote down hors d'oeuvres. I'm so glad I wrote that down. Hors d'oeuvres, guys. And then
you're just bragging that you can type it.
Horse d'oeuvres. No, I got a squiggle on that one because I know how to type it, but I just didn't type it.
I still cannot learn to type hors d'oeuvres or chlamydia. Or diarrhea. Those are like words that I just can't type. My body doesn't know how to, my brain can't form the letters.
Here's what I don't like about hors d'oeuvres. I don't mind that it's hard to spell, but what I do mind is that the iPhone is just like, no, I can't help you. Can't help you. But meanwhile, if you write, it's like with hors d'oeuvres and T-E-H, iPhone's like, I have no idea what word you were going for. You're on your own. But if you write down like a word like tomato, they're like, oh, did you mean pharmaceutical? I'm like, no, I was writing tomato.
Yeah, all of a sudden, it's really embarrassing. And that spell check doesn't even wait until, it'll do it like after you press send. It'll suddenly rejumble everything now.
I hate that.
Like I was returning an email to Dan, right, who is one of the guys on our ad sales team, right, for the podcast. Mm-hmm. And he wrote us and I wrote back like, yes, that's great. Thanks, Dan. And I pressed the send button and then it rejumbled the last word to thanks, fan.
I saw that. That was funny.
Like, who the fuck do you think you are sending that to somebody who works with you? Like, thanks, fan.
I just tried to type in hors d'oeuvres right now on my iPhone, and this is what it changed d'oeuvres to. Dough response. Like, where, like just think about it for a second, phone. Dough response. Could you please pass the or dough response? Like, why?
Or it'll change a word while you're typing it, but do it incorrectly, and then it'll think about it and come correct the sentence, which actually you're thinking, oh my God, they're so smart now, but they always correct the sentence incorrectly right before you press send, and you just look like an idiot every time.
No, they don't just correct the sentence. It's not like they put the apostrophe where they think the apostrophe. They like will fully insert other words. Like, you mean to write, hey, I'll be home in 5 minutes. I'm like, oh, I think he meant to write, hey, I just saw Pamela at D'Agostino's. See you soon. I'm like, wait, no. There's not even a D'Agostino's on the West Coast. I don't even know who Pamela is.
So let's see. So then Rinna, Diana, Rinna. That's what I wrote.
Diana, Erica,
there's two Rinnas. There's two Rinnas in this scene. Have fun.
No, Diana, Erica, and Rinna are sitting down. And Erica wants another drink. I think a waiter's there or something. And she's like, well, I think I'd like to have a champagne orgasm moment. No, well, there we go. That was the champagne orgasm.
So Kyle was talking to Kathy, Cherie, and Garcelle, and Kyle's like, oh, by the way, you guys are such a mess. Look at those fries on the floor. These fucking pigs. And this is something I'd learned working parties in that town. You just throw food on the floor and just leave it there. Someone has just, like, poured fries all over the floor, and there's just fries all over the ground now. They're like, ah! You're pigs, all of you. Shame on you.
Thank you. That's true. True. Pigs. Pigs. So, or as I like to say, trash. So Erica, meanwhile, turns to Rinna and is like, girl, I'm so wet. Because that's like the word that she likes to use now.
And, yeah, she's very young. She's very hip. I'm so wet. And Rinna's like, girl, I know. I know, girl. She's like, Kathy, how is Paris? How is she? I love Paris in the springtime.
Go for the high note, me. By the way, the first like child that Erica's ever asked about, of course, she's only going to ask about the famous kids. So then Kathy's like, oh, well, she's so happy. She's doing really, really well.
Kathy, I want to say something. I want to get it off my chest. You invited me to a lot of events. And the truth is, I didn't want to bring my scarlet and my fucking scarlet letter onto your daughters and onto you. I'm like, listen, Erica.
It's cool that this is like your first big scandal, but I think Paris Hilton's, I think when it comes to Scarlet Letters, Paris Hilton knows how to handle these. She's dabbled in it a little bit. So don't you worry. That's adorable that you think that you're going to bring the score into Paris Hilton, but don't worry about it.
Yeah, a Paris Hilton wedding. Yeah, I'm sure you're the only one who's ever had issues in that group of people.
I'm like, let's look at their family for a moment. Don't you worry about it, Erica. But that was so sweet of you to elevate yourself to that place where you could bring scorn to the Hiltons.
Yeah, please. Conrad was there, wasn't he? I mean, give me a fucking break. So,
I'm sure Brandon Kathy's Davis was there.
Oh, God. I mean, we could go down the list and probably find, like, 35 Crazy Days and Nights threads.
Kim Richards. Kardashians. literally everyone.
Kathy's like, oh, I understand, but you're always included, Garcelle. You're always included. And Erica's like, but the truth is... I just can't. It's okay, everybody. It's okay. I'm a woman scorned. It's like you only asked about somebody's fucking daughter so that you could sob about yourself. Ain't nobody going to feel sorry for you. Give back those earrings, ma'am. Okay?
Yeah.
Give back those earrings before you start crying to me about how victimized you've been.
See, I really, you know, normally I would really be down for this little moment that Erica's having. I love when a real housewife does the soapy thing. It's like, bring my scarlet letter. Like, this was actually Leanne Locken's specialty, was having a moment where, like, I would bring my scarlet letter to Paris Hilton. And it would just be the funniest thing ever. But Erica, I don't know. She's just not nailing it for me. I'm so sad. I should be loving this. You know?
Yeah. And so she tries to make this big thing. She's like, I just can't. The truth is, Kathy. And Kathy stops her and she's like, well, but you at least replied, because if you didn't reply, and that's a very different thing. You know, I hate when people don't reply, but you did. So I always understand people's feelings. You know, it was a waste of a blue Tiffany box and a lovely gift. But otherwise, what can I really say about it?
You know, Erica's like, and I knew you were adult enough to understand. And then Rinna's next to her crying. Rinna's crying on Erica's. I'm like, okay, settle down now, Rinna. There's nothing to cry about in this moment. This is ridiculous.
They're ridiculous, those two. So then Erica's like, please explain to Paris and Nikki. It's not personal. You think Paris and Nikki gave a flying fuck that their mom's crazy drunk friend?
Yeah.
Who, like, humps pianos everywhere she goes and tries to turn champagne flutes into, you know, champagne microphones or whatever. Do you think they care that she didn't show up to the wedding? Please stop now. It's been enough.
I know. I appreciate you elevating yourself in their lives to think that they would even care. They don't probably even know Erica was invited to the wedding, okay? But she's like, it's just, I didn't want to bring that fucking shame onto something that should have been so beautiful. By the way, she looks fucking beautiful. I just want to let you know. Diana's like, okay, let's change this up. She goes, cheers to that. Cheers to that. Okay.
Okay, let's change the subject now.
And Kathy's not amused, right? So she just gets up and walks away. She's like, yeah, I'm going to go inside because I'm a little cold.
Oh, really? Because it's pretty warm out here.
Hot. I'm hot, so I'm going to go inside.
Really? Because it's only about 70.
I'm freezing. I'm just going. I'm going to go inside.
Just, I prefer to be at a different temperature than this. Just whatever temperature it is, I just want to be there. So
and Kyle, being the Christmas gift that is Kyle, mm-hmm. is like, so, other girls, I was just thinking about Sutton and Diana thing at my house, you know? Wow. Wasn't that something? Anybody have anything to say about that? Okay. Well, have they left? I wouldn't even think that she would come here tonight, Sutton. But Sutton was really excited to come. Like, literally 1 hour before we were about to leave, she tested positive for COVID. And I was on the phone with her for 30 minutes over it. 30 minutes over COVID.
And, like, the thing that kills me about Sutton, I do get that she's, like, really lonely feeling. And when she said to me the other night, like, I have to be alone now for Christmas, that broke my heart. And I was like, Sutton, just because you're not in a marriage that's going into its 26th successful year, as documented by The Knot, does not mean that you have to feel alone. It just means you don't have a husband who you can share a cover with of a wedding magazine. And that's it.
So Garcelle's like, yeah, you know, she was saying, well, since you've had COVID, maybe you can come see me on Christmas. And Kyle goes, me? She said, no, me, Kyle. She goes, oh, thank God, because, yeah, I wouldn't do that. I would let her call me and just put it on speakerphone so I could listen to her being alone. That sounds kind of fun, actually.
Maybe if she just hears two people that aren't alone and have never been alone for 25 years, she won't feel alone. She can just sort of pretend like she's part of our marriage, which she's not, of course, but she can pretend.
So then Kathy comes over and Cherie's like, Kathy, my old friend, would you like some juice? And Kathy's like, oh my God, Erica's getting out of control, guys. She's getting out of control.
She actually thinks she was invited to Paris's wedding. I don't know where she got that notion. She's really wasted.
And Garcelle goes, well, did you know she told my son to fuck off, my 14-year-old?
Yeah, and Kathy's like, well, you don't ever want to put yourself in a position of drinking and losing control, that's for sure. And Kyle goes, well, no, but like, to be open and honest, like, she's kind of like loosening up, sort of like how all the ladies were around Jamie Lee Curtis, my friend. And, you know, she's just feeling more free around all of us. And just, you know, she's kind of like making little mistakes. And we got to cut her some slack, guys.
And Garcelle's like, you can cut her some slack. I don't need to cut her some slack. Which, you know, that got some double snap claps from me. I was like, yes.
Yeah, it's true.
And then dun, dun, dun. And then you just see Erica chugging outside like, oh, holy blood! My blood has got a bung! Oh, God, someone help Erica.
So then she says, she's still sitting with Rinna and Diana, and she's like,
can I be honest about who inspired me to take care of my mental health? It's her daughter, Amelia. I'm on Lexapro, and guess what? Now I'm on Mobitrubin and Boobaloobin and X Factor and American Idol. And yeah, I had a few drinks, but the truth is, I'm okay.
Yeah, you seem like you're doing great. So does Amelia, actually. Wow, you two are really killing it.
So Garcelle's like, well, I know we're all friends, but sometimes we can't be in denial just for the safety of our friendship. I mean, seeing her in Mexico on the boat, she was out of control. And then seeing her at my party, and also tonight, I mean, Asher's singing and she's shouting out. I mean, I don't know which one sounded worse, to be honest.
And Kyle's like, well, I think I'm just like ultra sensitive if someone says that this person's drinking too much. Honestly, right, Kathy? Because of our sister Kim, right? Oh, really? And then Kyle tells us, it's very dangerous to throw labels out like that. You know, drinking too much. You know, Garcelle is trying to bait me into saying that, and she's not going to do that. She's not baiting you. She's pointing out the fucking obvious. Erica's a goddamn mess, you know? Meanwhile, Erica's, like, sucking a drink from a Christmas ornament, which, you know, granted, that is what they're being served in. Yeah. But, you know, just singing babbly words out there to Garcelle. She's got a problem, okay?
I just love Kyle saying it's dangerous to throw labels around like that. Like, I was like, are we going to play the famous season one quote, "You're a goddamn alcoholic"? Is that, are we going to play that clip right now? Although in that case, she was right. But either way.
Well, it's only okay if Kyle gets to use it for a storyline.
Yeah. Kyle's basically pulling. What she's really doing is she's not admonishing Garcelle for suggesting that Erica could have a drinking problem. She's admonishing Garcelle. So that way she can show the stuff that she's been through. And she's sort of like one-upping hardships right here.
Yes. So she's like, yeah, well, I just get nervous because, like, that's a label. And that just makes me go, bah! And Garcelle's like, well, I'm just saying that there doesn't need to be an excuse made for something. It can just be bad. It's bad. That's it. It's like, you don't have to label it. You don't have to come out with some Kyle bullshit sloppy to excuse it. It's just, it's obviously embarrassing, right?
Yeah, exactly. And Crystal basically says something about how Kyle's idea of a friendship is that you back someone 100%, with, you know, and Crystal's version of a friendship is that you, you know, like a good friend will call me out, not just back me blindly. I'm like, okay, thanks, Crystal.
All so, 14 of them. Listen, if I do something bad and I don't have 14 friends unfollowing me, I'm pissed.
Kyle's like, saying, this is not her normal behavior, guys. And Garcelle's like, well, you can say that because you've known her more. I can't say that. She's like, come on, can't you be a little bit open-minded and say that? Garcelle's like, I've seen her attack Sutton like it was nobody's business, Kyle. She's like, but that wasn't drunk behavior, though.
I mean, yeah, who cares? Like, it's shitty behavior. Like, yeah. And at that time, you guys were saying, well, she's just going through a hard time. It was the same thing. It's like, no matter what she does, you guys just say, well, she was going through a hard time.
Yeah.
So now back to Erica. Erica's like, you know what? I couldn't have made it through this important time in my life without Lisa Rinna and her daughters and other people who surrounded her. There was a little mouse that comes out and gave me some good advice, but it asked for 10% of my income. I said, get the fuck out of here. You want to take 10% of my debt too, rat? But that was the only person at the house I really didn't like.
If it weren't for Lisa Rinna and her daughters, also Harry Hamlin teaching me things about anthrax in a Tom Brokaw voice, that helped a lot too. Hey, and that little guy from Love Island that one of those girls was dating, he taught me some things about space. That was cool too. I learned so much. Gotta say, I learned so much.
And Rinna hypocriting it up as well. It's like, and that is what everyone is here for. You know what I love to do? Help out alcoholics. And never say they're near death. And never try to strangle them in restaurants. I was like, yeah, true. You're real sensitive too, Rinna.
Yeah.
So Erica's like, you know, but when you want to parse it up and make it ugly and make it like, oh my God, we just don't understand you, Erica, that's when you're ready to shit.
Sorry, sipping coffee.
Like, it made no sense.
Yeah.
No, it's okay. But I was giving a look anyway. But it didn't really make any sense. It's like Erica saying, okay, you know, I'm going through a hard time, but it's when people turn it against me and try and make it like it's some kind of a bad thing. That's when it becomes a problem. It's like, it is a bad thing, Erica. And what you're going through is a bad thing too, and you're not helping, you know?
You can go through a hard time, but if you lash out at other people because of that, that's like not a good thing. So Rita is like, she sees that Erica is going down the wrong path. So she's like, oh, thank you for this beautiful party. It's beautiful. It's our first time out. So, you know, we need to go home and go to bed now. That singing was just, it was beautiful. We gotta go.
Yeah. And Diana's like, well, there are rooms here. She's like, oh, you're going to stay here, Erica? Are you? She's like, are you kidding? I live right down the road. And by the road, I mean those stairs that lead to the lower level. Asher, hey, Asher, bring Rick Astrophy Key down with you on your way to bed, honey.
So then Garcelle comes in. She's like, well, I'm saying goodbye. Everyone's like, we should go too. And then Erica's like falling on the sofa and everything. And she's like, I love you all. It's just sort of like a sloppy moment.
She's trying to be like a fun drunk. It's just not working. And I have to say, it's one of the first characters on TV that I haven't fallen for. I mean, my favorite show is Ab Fab. I love a good middle-aged lady, you know, middle-aged lady falling down out of drunkenness. I love it. Okay. Mm. But yes, if you can't even make that work, well, that's a trope that gets deliberate. Me every time.
It's too deliberate. Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, people are saying, like Kyle's saying, well, no, she's loosening up. We're finally getting just the real Erica. I'm like, no, she's just road testing a new personality that she's learned from her gaze. And it's like, it's still just not quite authentic to her. If, or at least it's not coming off that way. So it's like, not as fun as it should
be. Yeah. So now Diana and Garcelle are kind of there awkwardly. So Diana's like, thank you so much for coming. And then the tongue comes back out. Also, I don't know if I mentioned this. I have to keep a napkin here just for the Diana tongue segments. But I don't know if I mentioned this last week, but did you notice that her daughter also does the mini tongue version of her? When they show her daughter, her tongue comes out like a little fist. Like, I was like, oh, God.
But now, are you talking about the daughter who's like 21 or the daughter who's like 21 months?
No, or the both. Daughter who's here. Well, I'm sure the 21-month-year-old does it, too. Just like,
commercials. Here comes one right now.
So anyway, Diana's like, my behavior at your party was inappropriate. It really was. And Sutton said some things, and she literally pressed every button there is to press. And then we see a flashback of, you're an asshole. You know what? She's a fucking asshole. You're a soulless person. Motherfucker. Motherfucker, soulless person.
But, you know, you come in, you just came in your beautiful white dress, and I lashed out in the rudest way. Really, I did. Really. And then we cut back to her going, oh, are you her bodyguard? Are you her mouthpiece? And she's like, so I really apologize. And Garcelle's like, thank you for that. She's like, I just always feel this part of Garcelle, you know. I see it in your eyes that you're like me. And Garcelle's like, well, thank you for tonight.
Okay. She's like, thank you for apologizing. Well, I'm not actually racist, but thank you. Thank you for everything else. And Diana tells us, I really enjoyed Garcelle tonight. She seemed to be at ease. You know, she was approachable. And I don't know if it's me or her or maybe Sutton not being here, but I don't know. Lick, lick.
Yeah, she does her innocent blink, like, maybe it's just Sutton not being here. Mm-mm. Honey, we've already had 10 years of these women trying to other people that they don't like, and I'm certainly not going to listen to it from you. Pass. Go fuck your little toddler in a, you know, Gallagher wig who tries to sing at pianos, okay? Can't with you.
A Gallagher wig. Downgraded from Dana Delaney. So,
yeah, I like give Dana Delaney.
Give him like a, let's see, if it's not, is it a seal? Oh my God, Seal Award was in my dream last night. I'm just realizing as I said
Seal
it.
Seal Award is in your dreams way too much. Like, this is actually officially a problem now, okay? Because this is not even the second time that you've said that or the third time that you've said that. Dana Delaney, I mean, Seal Award spends too much time in your dreams.
But you know what, though? Asher, maybe a better comparison is Asher may have Patricia Callenber hair, as in the woman who played Georgie on Sisters.
Oh, not Georgie.
But think about it. Visualize it, Ronnie, and tell me I'm wrong.
Talk about a broken teacup.
Think about it. And by the way, for anyone who doesn't know about the show Sisters, please look it up because it's a drama that has been forgotten to it. Like, in this world of reboots and like and nostalgia plays and reunions and rewatches, Sisters, it's
no
like
one's no one doing even, Sisters.
No one seems to know it even happened. Like, people are like, was there a show called Sisters? It was a show with George Clooney, Ashley Judd, Swoozie Kurtz, Cela Ward. Do I need to go on? Hello.
Yeah, no one in Hollywood's like, I wonder what Georgie would be doing in 2022.
Ah, poor Georgie.
So inside, they're up to some shenanigans, some Hiltonanigans, with Kathy hiding Kyle's purse.
Yeah.
They're so wacky. And they're like, oh my God, we're so funny. We love hiding things from each other. And then we see the time where Kyle and Kim hid Brandy's crutches at game nights and called her a slut pig. That was fun. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Paul Rudd. I also want to say Paul Rudd was also on Sisters. It was superstar cast. Superstar cast.
Okay, so let's go over to PK and Dorit at home for another whitewash. You know, you got to love a PK and Dorit scene because whenever they do something terrible, they just whitewash it. They still spend an entire episode just pouring the lime on it.
Another whitewash. That's the name of their sitcom. So yeah, they're there. PK walks into the living room and he's like, honey, I'm a little bit jaded. I feel all right, but I'm a bit jaded.
That's not the word, PK. In America, it means something else, being jaded. All right. It's different in the US than it is in the English British Isles of Vancouver, Jamaica.
Well, then what's the word that you use when you've had so many Pringles that they no longer delight you?
Well, I guess that is jaded. But I thought you were going to talk about something else.
So PK's like, well, I had to deal with Mom and Dad today on the because of all the press that came out. And then we see the headline, PK Kemsley was arrested on suspicion of DUI in California a month after his wife Dorit was robbed at gunpoint in their L.A. home. I was like, even the headlines. I feel like even the headlines are constantly making excuses for people. It's not just the other people on reality TV. It's like, PK was pulled over, but his wife was out. It's like, okay, but he was still pulled over. Don't put that in the headline. Don't let PK off of this, Daily Mail.
Please. So, so Dorit tells us,
gee, 3 weeks ago, just about the time that I had just witnessed the chicest wind chime I'd ever seen, PK went to a work dinner, and he was driving home after having a glass of wine, a non-chic glass of wine, and he got pulled over and brought to the station.
PK doesn't work. What's PK's job, by the way? Again. So we see news clips, and then Dorit's like, and then here we are, weeks later, and suddenly the press have found out, magically, it's all magic! Vanderpump's just there petting her swan, like,
in a gemstone vest and tie, as usual.
Swinging back and forth on a giant chandelier that Nicolene has made that looks like a clock.
Magic, darling, magic. Yeah, I mean, what were they gonna? They don't have anyone else to blame anymore for these strange leaks. What are they gonna
do? And they don't even bother. Like, Vanderpump's not there anymore, so she's still blaming somebody. She just doesn't know who it is now, right?
Yeah. So Dorit said that she found out the next day because PK was really upset, and then he went to London, and now she's like,
and now we're having to have the conversation again. And I'm annoyed again because I have to have it for TV. We did not want to put this on TV. And now the producers are saying we have to have this conversation. So we're having it. Gee.
But babe, I haven't told you the anxiety that I went through. I haven't updated you yet, babe, on that. And she's like, what are you talking about, Piki? He's like, well, you know, first of all, here's what happened. They asked me to blow into a machine, babe. All right. They said the legal limit is 8.8. And I was at 0.81. You know? And I just didn't want to worry you where I was, and that's why I didn't call you, babe.
And she's like, gee, so you were pulled over by the police on suspicion of DUI, and you were anxious about worrying me about you being up late? Gee!
Yeah, I'm telling you, you know, all I wanted to do was call you, but I couldn't because my hands were behind my back. You see? Look at that. And then, actually, I'm just realizing right now for the first time, I can't actually get my hands behind my back. Which is odd.
It's not.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to try and touch my toes right now, babe.
And it's not that I was, handcuffed or anything, but the police officers decided, let's do a field day. They put my tie my hands behind my back and we did relay races. That's all, babe. That's all that happened, babe.
And then, I was handcuffed a second time, and then I had to blow into it, and this time, they just came up with cool Doritos. Cool over Doritos. That's just a kind of chippy gear.
So then they flew me to Canada so I could try ketchup ruffles. Wow, delicious. Then I came back.
That's not even an amount of drunkenness, PK. All right, they got me 400 over 222. That's a blood pressure peak.
Funyuns. Turns out potato chips can involve onions. Delicious, babe. Delicious.
So he says that he wasn't booked after all, because by the time they blew it again, he was under the limit now. So even though he was driving drunk, by the time they did it again, he wasn't drunk anymore. To which I say, LA cops, like, what the hell?
Yeah.
They're like, just take a break over there for a while, okay? It'll be fine in just a minute.
I feel like that happened to January Jones also. Didn't she have a thing that happened and then Bobby Flay came to rescue her? It was so weird. It was a weird, strange thing that I'm surprised has not been turned into a true crime podcast. So then so then PK is like, listen, babe, there isn't a husband in the world after what you've been through that's going to call you at 4 a.m. I was like, well, weren't you supposed to be driving home after dinner? Why is it 4 a.m? I don't understand that part either. Even if you were brought downtown to the station, and this is after a work dinner, we're talking like 11:30, 1 a.m. max. But 4 a.m., there's more to the story.
Yeah, there's something weird there. And she's like, but PK, there's only one thing that's extremely important in our marriage. We don't lie to each other. It's not a big lie, not a little lie, not a big little lie, at least season 2, because that was a real disaster. And not a true lie, because that movie starred Jamie Lee Curtis, and I've already bought 19 chic wind charms and a contraption that somehow keeps things hot and cold.
We don't lie to each other. So so then she's basically like, she's like, if I think for 1 second that you'd lie to me, you'd crush me in 2 seconds. And you know what sort of noise I'd make? This noise.
Oh, gosh. So basically, she's like, listen, we're married. We lie to people together. You don't lie to me. Okay? You got that, buddy? And he's like, well, but I won't ever lie to you, but I can sometimes delay telling you or choose my time to tell you. And she's like, don't do it again. I'll kill ya. So that's they're like, oh, wasn't that fun, that scene when PK, you know, was accused of being drunk, but he wasn't really drunk at all that time when he had a job? You know, that he was at drinking for. I'm like, God, you guys add a lot of bullshit into your scenes.
I know. So then we go over to Erica's tiny little shack, and there's hair extensions everywhere. And Erica's like holding the mop or playing with them. And she's like, diva, mermaid, and assa, assa, assa. Yeah. And she's sitting there with her publicist, Jack, and Laya, and Mikey, basically all her employee friends. And they're just sort of sitting around looking at the hair.
Yeah, the friend employees. And Jack's like, well, we have 5 colors, okay? We have a clip and sample as well to try on. And Mikey's like, I am so glad this is happening. I'm Mikey, sitting here cross-legged in a sweater, not even putting clothes on you. That's my arc this season, and I'm so glad to have it.
Yeah. So Rinna comes over. She's like, oh, I didn't know the whole gang was going to be here. You guys! Oh! Wow. Oh, my God. And you took photos, Erica. So pretty. I love these photos. Oh, God. What are you guys going to drink? Because I want to drink something, and I don't know what to order until you guys order something. Thank you so much.
You know, I already know what it's like to have it all. Chamomile tea and a private jet, a big closet, a panther ring, a man who couldn't walk down the hallway with tripping over his own nuts. God, but I know that I'm going to work my ass off, and I'm going to get everything back.
Yeah, she's like, I'm going to work my ass off. And we see, like, 1 month earlier, Erica had a photo shoot. I was like, wow.
Wow, Erica took some pictures out by the dried up water fountain outside her neighbor's house.
Working that ass off. Also, I hope she enjoyed her wonderful luxury vacation in Hawaii with Rinna and Diana. And that she just got home from this week. Hope that's working her ass off. God, really doing it. Doing it.
Yeah, what was that about? So that was funny because, well, we already talked about this, I guess, on Take a Seat, right? Is that where we talked about it?
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Take a Seat, Monday night, 7 p.m. Pacific on Spotify Live. But yeah, we were talking about that a little. I just love that Erica posted that clip right when all of this other news was posted. She gets served when she gets back from Hawaii to the airport. She gets served all these papers for this new lawsuit. And then that day, to show how unbothered she is, she puts up this montage of them in Hawaii. You know what it was to? The song it was to? Wipe what? Out. The song is to Wipe Out. Okay, the song is Wipe Out. The whole video is na 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 na. And it ends Wipe Out. It's like, how fitting.
Was it
who made this montage?
Was it the Fat Boys remix from the 80s? No.
No, it's the Ridge.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Wipe Out. What's so hard?
So then Erica tells us, she gives us her Shark Tank pitch. She goes, "Why hair? Because I've worn it all. Every type of extension. Clip-in, ponytail tape, keratin, masking tape, glue, Elmer's rubber cement. You name it, I've worn it on stage for over a decade. Every type of blonde hair. Because that's the only hair that matters. I've worn it all."
What does that have to do with anything? That's like me becoming like a fucking doctor because I'm allergic to a lot of things. It's weird. Like, who cares? So Ren is like, Major, I'm just going to keep saying that. Major. And she's like, all right, everybody leave. Well, Mikey, you can stay. Jackie, I love you. Liar, change one letter in your name. You're a fucking liar. Get the fuck out of here till tomorrow. We'll give you back the A. Okay, it's just us now. What do you guys want to discuss? My new album?
No. Trying to purge that out of my brain. Listen, so... Yeah, our girl was shit-faced at the party. I mean, you were slurring your words. Did you black out when you got home? Did you got... Were people sniffing cocaine in your head when you blacked out when you got home?
And she's like, well, I hit my head and I vomited.
And she tells us that the holidays are hard for everybody, and especially this year, because, you know, you have a memory of your family. We'd seen chestnuts roasting on an open fire one year. Tom's actually were. I said, Tom, get your nuts out of the fire. He said, sorry, I didn't even realize they were in there. Must have tripped. Just remembering when things were great.
Holidays are tough because it was the holidays when I found out that jingle bells, that Batman actually smells. I always thought he smelled wonderful, but he smelled and Robin laid an egg. It's a hard time, the holidays. You learn things about your heroes you never want to know.
You know, you have holidays, you look and you think, everyone's just a fucking given. These days, not even widows or orphans will spare me a dollar. You know what I'm saying? I just don't want you to see my scarlet letter.
You know, the holidays are a tough time. I think often about my grandma. She was run over by a reindeer, just so you know. It's tough. It's a tough time. I don't want to bring my grandma's scarlet letter onto the scene, you know. I have so much shame.
So Erica's like, well, this is the fallout from everything that's happened. And she tells us she doesn't want to be sad and depressed. She wants to have a good time, you know, and she wants to have fun. And, oh, so big deal. She overdid it. And Rena's like, yeah, but with antidepressants, having one drink is like having five. Now, if you're going to have a pill while you drink, here's my gigantic bag of pills, which I thought was hilarious while I was drinking two seasons ago. Okay, we're going to put that away now and pretend that never happened, okay? I need everybody on the internet to say what a good person I am by helping my friend who's now an alcoholic.
Everyone's like, you're out of control. And Mikey goes, as someone who's known you for 12 to almost 13 years, yes, I've been hitching my wagon to this horse for a long time, okay? You're not a drinker, babe. It's just two things that are not mixing, okay? Fab.
And Ren is like, she is going to hear what we have to say, period. End of stories. So Erica's like, well, you know, it's reckless. The truth is I could hurt myself. I mean, I just can't do it like that, I guess. And she goes, you went through tremendous trauma. Ah! Your husband turned out to be someone none of us had any idea who he was. None of us knew Erica. Not ever. I'm doing my lifetime whispering voice, Erica.
This is how I told Harry to talk when he was going to pretend to be Tom Brokaw announcing news about anthrax. You have to deal with it because you're married to him and you went to this place because it's out of a lot of pain.
So then Rena tells a story about how her sister died of a drug overdose, and her sister was in pain but not an addict, and she was self-medicating. So she basically is telling Erica, you gotta rein it in. And Erica's like, you know what? I pushed it too far, and I did the wrong thing. Of course, I'm talking about my vocals. I went for a high note. Shouldn't have done that. Should know. Just I've got three notes in my register. C, D, and E. Just stay with those three notes. Don't try to push
it. I've learned my lesson. Next time I'm shit-faced and looking amazing, I'm going to let Asher do the harmonies. I've learned.
So Rena's like, we all hit rock bottom. I do it every 5 years or so. It's fun. Usually leads to some kind of endorsement deal, so don't worry. But I think right now, this is yours. It's like, oh no, honey. Oh no. Erica has not hit rock bottom until she's driving a pink Corvette around selling t-shirts that say it's expensive to be me out of her trunk. Okay. Yeah. That's something I predicted 6 years ago, and I still think that's going to happen. I will move back to West Hollywood when that happens.
Let me tell you something. You don't hit rock bottom until you're arrested under false charges and slip out of the handcuffs and say, I'm going to kill you all. And then turn into
you haven't hit rock bottom until you've got a bologna sandwich in your face.
With a mustard packet embedded inside it. That's rock bottom.
Okay, so now we get little shots of Christmas. It's Christmas, everybody. Crystal's having like a family and friend Christmas. And Rena is, lucky that she got to have so many Christmases with Lois. Garcelle went to Vegas, and she's like, we do the usual family things where we all wear matching pajamas. And I was like, you lost me there.
we do the family things that we wear matching pajamas, and my sons can just write it down in their notebook for their future therapy appointments. It was great times. So, but Sutton had COVID. She's like, I had COVID during Christmas. Nothing better than spending Christmas Day alone. So I bought myself a Christmas present. It was a ring. I had to open something on Christmas morning. Oh, and then I did get a FaceTime from Kyle, which was just her and Mauricio kissing for about 5 minutes straight.
You know how they have those TV channels you can turn it on and you just see the fire? It's just the fire logs, whatever. Well, Kyle did that with Mauricio, but they were just holding each other's hands, going like, kind of moving their hands like that. That was my fire on Christmas. Thank you, Kyle and Maurizio.
I tried to change the channel, but it was either that or Jenny Garth. So I said, I guess I should watch Kyle.
So now we go to Garcelle's house, and she's in the kitchen with Jade, talking about how she's going to do an audio version of her book. And she's like, I'm doing that so it's harder for people to throw them into the trash, Erica.
I'll find a way, bitch!
I forgot about that. And he's really supportive. He's like, books suck. I hate books. I hate reading. I can barely read myself. I hate it. Ah! She's like, well, that's great. Glad I bought you $1,500 worth of sneakers.
So then Sutton comes over, and, it's cute, I guess. So she comes over, and she's like, when do I have to stop saying Merry Christmas? When is that? And they say January 6th, which I think is like a weird date to choose. Is that the date? Like the Christmas holiday just officially died on January 6th.
Well, we all know that the new tradition of Christmas is that we stop. The Christmas spirit ends if there's ever an insurrection on the Capitol, and unfortunately, that did come true.
Christmas turns into, let's just take over the White House so rapidly, doesn't it?
Well, it goes from the Christmas spirit to let's attack cops with American flag spirit. So,
When I saw Santa fly off with that red cap on, I said, bye, Santa. Sorry it's so short this year.
So funny. So
Macca.
Make America Christmas again.
Same here, buddy.
Is that Santa Claus with a Viking hat walking through the Capitol?
A Viking hat. Santa Claus, put on your shirt.
Listen, I'm done for the year. I get to do what I want to do now. Ho, ho, ho. Is that Santa Claus in Nancy Pelosi's office? I came in through the chimney. It was not an insurrection.
I got myself a gift this year. It's Nancy Pelosi's laptop.
Then they sit and talk, and Sutton's like, "Well," so Garcelle goes, "Yeah, 2022, huh? Well, I'm just so hopeful. But what I'm really looking forward to is I'm going to make a meaningful change in myself." And Sutton goes, "Oh, uh-huh. Yeah, I want to be better. I need to stop losing my temper." "Oh, you mean Diana? Well, thank you for blowing right past my self-help journey. Go ahead, Sutton, please."
Yeah, we'll just, I guess we'll just leave it for everyone to assume what that change will be. Thanks, Sutton. So
I'm going to start wearing odd poncho sweaters. Okay, go ahead, Simon. Go ahead.
Sorry, I just needed to get that on the record. So Garcelle talks about how she went to Diana's house. It was gore. Dot, 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 dot. Adjust. That's how gorgeous it was. It was gore. Adjust. And and Asher sang. It was great. I felt like I was back on the Norwegian Queen boat as we floated by Italy. God, it was, what a beautiful trip that was. Anyway, he sang a song, and I nearly cried.
Were the blind tenors not available? That's my other question, you know? Like, Yolanda did it better, and I have to say, that's sad, because Yolanda really didn't try all that hard. Well, she had, like, the five blind tenors downstairs. Who else did she have over there with David Foster when she's like, "Listen to my love sing song"?
She basically had those three tenors living out Saw in the basement until she was like, "Okay, you can come up now." So,
that's how she should have done it to Asher. Asher should have been like in a little crate downstairs that they unlocked for him to come up and sing.
Not to be confused, by the way, of when they went to Wally's in Beverly Hills and they went to like a back room and she's like, "Ladies and gentlemen, Andrea Bocelli," which I still say that. I still announce that in my head. Like, I'll go to like Yogurtland and be like, "Okay, do you guys have any of the cookies and cream? Oh, and by the way, ladies and gentlemen, Andrea Bocelli." And I just imagine him coming around the corner with like a container.
What was his song that he sang? Oh, yes. The Bellagio Fountain song. La, 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 la,
la, la. Yeah. He does Bellagio pop. Fountain pop. Yeah.
It's hot. Now there is a boner. Now that I got a boner for. Pasta and beautiful singing. Bone Town. So they're talking about her house, and Garcelle's like, "Yeah, and you know, Erica was once again more than tipsy, and we should look into that." And Sutton goes, "Well, I'm not looking into anything, okay? That's going to go over well. Hey, excuse me, Erica, I think you might have a problem, okay? I'll get my face eaten off. I'm going to get my face eaten off if I do that."
Listen, I say the same thing when Kyle Richards says, "Here's my famous salmon. I'm not going to touch it, okay? I'm not going to touch it."
"Well, how are you? How was COVID and Christmas alone? I mean, I know the kids were with Christian, and that was a bother." God, man, Sutton really did go through it. Jeez.
I know. Yeah, and she was like, "Well, I am alone. And I just thought this is my life as a single person. I got to fix that. You know what? I'm going to go back on those dating apps. And instead of saying, 'Now you stop messaging me, you motherfucker,' I'm going to say, 'Okay, I will go on a date.'"
Yeah. So now she's going to go on a date. And she's like, "Yeah, being alone, it made me soften my shell down a little bit. You know, what else am I doing with my life?" And she says that Christian now has a very serious girlfriend. And she's like, "And that girl was in Italy with my family. And I didn't know about that. So that's a conversation we're going to have, not right now, because right now I'm being fun light Sutton. So hold on, let me finish this text. Motherfucker. Motherfucker." Okay. What are we talking about? My changes. That's right. My changes for 2022.
Wait, I just got a text. Christian says, "Okay, chill out. We're not really in Italy. We're just in the Capri room at Buco di Beppe." Okay, that makes it better. That makes it better. He's just here in Encino.
So basically, she said that she got so lonely on Christmas that she called every ex-boyfriend she ever had. And Griselle goes, "What?"
She goes, "Did you give someone COVID?" She goes, "No, I called them on the phone. I called them, which is what everyone wanted to hear on Christmas. Everyone wanted to speak on the phone with their ex-girlfriend, Sutton Strack, on Christmas.
That girl I dumped just called me and cried about having COVID. No one called me. No one called me on Christmas.
So now it's a little bit, now it's like there's a commercial break or whatever. And now we're at Sutton's house and Sutton's with Joshua and they're trying to figure out her look for date number five, her fifth date of the year. Well, I think the 365 year, not of the new year. So she's like, I've been on five dates in the last year and I want someone who is tall. I like someone that has a job, someone that's educated, someone who's not a motherfucker. Just that.
I just don't want him to be in a creepy, unmarked white van. Okay? Is that too much to ask?
No.
And I like when he goes, she's like, yeah, it's date number five. And he's like, five. I thought it was four. Hold on. I'm checking my Apple Watch. Oh, yeah, your activity levels are really low. So do some arm circles while you talk. Do some arm circles. She's like, okay. Here's what I want to do. I want to look relaxed, but I don't want to look slutty. And he's like, oh, God. It's like, I went to college. Okay, this is my job.
The producer asks Sutton if she's ever thought about having just a friends with benefits situation. She goes, no, what friend? I have gay friends. I'm not sure they want that benefit.
Oh, so they're going through clothes, and she's like, this one's cute. And he goes, yeah, but that looks a little Valentine's-ish. And then we see a clip of her going, yeah, well, we were on Valentine's Day weekend vacation, and he broke up with me. And Brendan's like, oh, on the weekend?
So now we're over at Kyle's house, and Dorit shows up, and her flock of untamed rabid dogs go and greet her at the door. I'm surprised they don't eat her purse. And
I'd just like to point out that Kyle is in a pink sweater trying to serve tea, talking in an English accent in her house with Kathy's floor that's full of dogs. I mean, Kyle, try harder.
With Caroline Stanbury's pink neon art. So actually, mm-hmm. but it was actually that pink neon art first made an appearance at Erica's, well, on this show, on Eric and Erica's office that she had downtown. So then Kyle goes, did you drive here yourself? And Tariq goes, I did! Which I love this like big moment for Dorit.
So they start talking about how the tabloid stories about PK came out and now everybody has all these questions and she has to she has to talk about it over and over again with people. And Kyle's like, yeah, well, he told Mo, and Mo said that he just didn't have a chance to tell me, which I don't really believe. I don't really believe that. Yeah. Well, he trusts Mo with his life. He'd take a bullet for him, Kyle. A bullet! Is it every week that Dorit's just going to make some kind of a gun reference now? It's every week, right?
So Kyle is annoyed that Mauricio didn't tell her about this, and you know, she's not going to pretend like it's not a big deal because it, you know, and because it hurt her feelings. And she goes, and you know, the thing that's really weird is that they're like big guys. You would think that having just a little would have like, you know, wouldn't get you taken into the station. But that's just a reminder and a lesson to everyone, you know, because when I see police drive by, even when I haven't even had anything to drink, I feel like I have a dead body in my trunk. I can only imagine being pulled over and them questioning you. God, it's so hard to be a white woman dealing with the police.
Isn't that crazy that they're both like, oh, the police, it's just terrifying. You don't know if they're going to pull you over and think you're drunk even though you've barely had a drop.
Do you know how scary it is that the police would pull you over and then look the other way until your alcohol levels will go down? It's terrifying.
Yeah. You know, those cops, I mean, you just never know. What if they didn't give you a full hour to wait before they tested you again? I mean, the terror running through me.
I'm always afraid they're going to give me the benefit of the doubt. So,
you know, my biggest fear, being pulled over and let go for another warning. I mean, that is, cops are really terrifying. If I have another cop ask me if I know Mauricio, owner of the agency, I mean.
Oh, God, if I get pulled over and have to give another autograph, I'm telling you, it's terrifying.
Thank you for joining us for the newest episode of White Ladies. Like, only these two could have this conversation, unironically.
I know. Fuck. So, yeah, Kyle is just, like, really annoyed. And so, but they are happy that the new generation doesn't like to drive, which apparently is a thing. Apparently the youngins don't like driving. They just like taking Ubers. So,
yeah. It feels like gross. They're like, ew, why would I drive? So then we go to Ronin Restaurant, where Sutton is having a date night. Lord help us all. Okay. God bless you, Sanji. God bless you. Godspeed, good man.
Well, I thought the most romantic place to go would be a restaurant named after one of Pharaoh's sons. So,
yeah, I was trying to think what Ronin is. I guess that is. Yes, it's I'm going to bring someone to a place where if there is any kind of mistreatment, it will be reported immediately. Ronin Pharaoh's house.
Oh, Pod save this pizza. Pod save this pizza. Ronin's actually really good, I just want to say. The restaurant, I have no opinions about Ronin Farrow. So, she's here with, Sanjit and, Sanjit, but she says Sanjit. So,
well, the other ladies were calling him Sanji. That's why I'm calling him that.
Is it Sanjit? Either way, she calls him Sanjit.
Sanjit. So after all this worrying about looking like a slut, Sutton shows up in a sweater with a kitten on it, okay? If there's anything that says, I'm sick of being a single woman, it's not this sweater, okay? Why don't you just come with your fucking rollers in your hair? The hell?
So, so they show up and she goes, I don't know about you, but I'm a plain pizza eater. I'm like, wow, this date's starting on a great foot. You come to a high-end pizza, Italian pizza place, and you're like, I just want plain.
I hope you don't mind. That's what I eat, by the way. So I would appreciate it if you take that back. But in the meantime, I hope you don't mind. I brought my own pint of ice cream in my purse to Netflix and chill while I talk to you on our first date. I'm like, could you please pretend you're on a date? What the hell?
And she's like, no, I don't eat anything spicy, because he wants to order spicy clams. And she's like, I don't eat anything spicy. But, you know, with your Indian background, I'm like, because I like Indian food, but not spicy Indian food. Is that bad? Sanjit? Is that bad?
He's like, Well, I met Sanjit on the Bumble. So after all the girls got in his face, I've been on one date with him. He's gone to school. He does not drive a creepy white van. He has a job. He was on Jeopardy. And I know this because I do background checks on people that I date.
What is spicy food? Oh, sorry. I was talking Jeopardy speak. I thought you might relate to that more, Sanjit. So, she said she loved their first date because they went to a dive bar and they had beer. He had beer. She had wine. They talked about movies and books and college football that they bonded over. But now she wants to go deeper. But it seems like they're still just talking about pop culture stuff, which personally to me, that sounds like a great date. Like, to talking about pop culture. Like, that's what you want on a date, but maybe not.
And they talk about how they like, you know, they've talked about movies and books, and she's like, college football seems to be our thing. And this is why Sutton's scary, you know, because you've been on one date with them and you're like, college football, that's our thing. You don't have a thing. Okay. It's been one date, crazy cat sweater lady. Okay. It's been one day. Calm down over there, spicy clam.
Spicy clams, clam spice. They start talking about music. Well, first she's like, well, excuse me, my foot is itching because I got neuropathy. So,
yeah. And she just, it's like this weird, awkward moment because he goes, you know, I really love the music scene. I saw the Go-Go's were playing at the Whiskey. And she's like, oh, yeah. And she's just kind of staring while she's bent over. She's like, yeah, neuropathy. Yeah. Yeah. It's the thing I have. It's bothering me. It's bothering me.
Yeah, I call it's, you know, I love music. I love live music, even though no one's actually ever seen me actually do anything with music in my life. Although I do ballet. I guess there's that. I love garage music, big garage, like 84 car garage. And, you know, because I grew up in the 80s, so I like the punk scene. I love the Clash. I love the Clash, which is also how I explain my relationship with many of my friends, the Clash.
He's like the Clash, the Sex Pistols. She's like, well, actually, it describes my current life. You know, we've got ladies clashing. We've got Erica basically sex pistoling everywhere. Bloop, 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 everywhere, shooting just blanks out of that. Anyway, neuropathy. neuropathy. Also, just to point out, Sutton is very musical. She's a karaoke queen. Don't you know that about her? She's always posting on her Instagram stories of her and Joshua singing karaoke in her living room.
Yeah, I mean, she is on the board of ABT, okay? Yeah. There is music involved in ballet.
So she's like, okay, so listen, I don't know what I'm looking for. I don't think I'm looking for marriage. Maybe a boyfriend, someone who will put up with me. But then she just out of nowhere, she goes, so a little inside information so you can decide if you want a third date or not. Are you going to say anything? He's just looking at her smiling. She's like, okay, well, I guess you're like, no, I don't want a third date. Okay, well, that was fun. Out my foot. Thanks. Glad I wasted the sweater on you, Sanjit.
Wow. Hey. This really feels like Christmas all over again. Silent and lonely. So now we go to Erica and Garcelle at a rooftop bar. And they're like, I think hi, like chit chat, like hi. And like, you know, so how's your dating life? She's like, well, the sex life is better than my dating life, if I can say that. And then the waitress comes over. And, you know, Garcelle orders like Casamigos or something. And Erica's like, I would like chamomile tea with honey. And the waitress, this is so L.A. Like, this is the thing. I'm like, you know what? I understand why people hate L.A. The waitress goes, unfortunately, we actually don't do the hot drinks up here. What the? You can't bring a tea for a celebrity up the staircase?
Yeah.
Get out of here, Grandmaster
Records. Yeah, it makes it worse when they have it downstairs, but she won't go get it from downstairs. We only do that indoors where it's heated, not upstairs on roof decks in the winter. Okay?
It's January, and you have an outdoor thing, and you're also on TV. Just fudge it, for crying out loud. Bring the woman a tea, for crying out loud.
Yeah, I agree, but I loved it because it was Erica. I was like, yeah, she must be a Sutton fan. So Erica's like,
all right, well, what cognac do you have? Just anything good. Just bring me that.
And then it goes, uts. And Garcelle's like, I've never seen anybody who's, tea or cognac? Maybe a Shirley Temple? Water?
It is a funny move. But although I think actually in Erica's defense, she just wanted something to warm her up, right? Like a little... Wah. So cheers, they toast, and then Garcelle's like, well, the last time, a couple of times I saw you, you were a little tipsy.
I wasn't tipsy. I was black the fuck out, am I right?
Well, I'm trying to start slow.
Hey, don't start slow. Start in 4/4. No way!
All right, Erica. All right, I remember.
Well, listen, it was only because of the medicine. Okay, I'm thinking I could be fine, Mama. And I just wanted to have fun. That's me. Fun, Erica.
Yeah, but you don't want to get to a point where you're messy and sloppy. And she goes,
well, you know who came to my house and basically let me have it? Lisa Rinna.
Am I supposed to surprise God, that
did
Lisa
Harry
Rinna
leave
came to your
some
house?
Horrible? Yeah, did Harry leave some horrible sauce in your mailbox or something?
Did you thank her for whatever condiment she brought over?
Oh, she let me have it real good. She said, "You listen here, you talented, perfect singer."
So Erica's like, well, obviously I'm struggling. You know, I lost the husband, I lost the home, I lost the stuff,
and nobody really tells you how to
sing.
No, another word.
Harmonize.
Dance.
No, the other one.
Stage presence.
No, you know.
General talent of some sort.
No. You know.
Taste.
Nah.
Tax.
Hair extensions. So
rebuilding.
Rebuilding. Oh yeah.
Listen, you know, I know I'll be okay. I know I'll be, but there are moments where I'm like, oh shit, you know? And Garcelle's like, well, I'm glad you recognize that there is a problem. And she's, well, I've got a fresh set of eyes right now.
She's like, okay, well, I guess let's stir some shit. Now that your eyes are open, what are you seeing about our friend group? Are you seeing anything you hadn't seen before?
She goes, well, I'm glad that you have Cherie, because I think that Sutton is a liability for you. I hope she pronounces liability very specifically. Liability for you.
Yeah, that's when she gets serious, when Erica starts talking like this. Liability. She's like, this will be a staccato conversation for the rest of the conversation.
Liability.
So Garcelle's like, really?
Also, this is so obvious. Like, wow, I'm glad you got someone on the cast. I'm glad they cast someone else for you besides Sutton. You know, like, let's
none
not
of us
even
are
pretend they were all just naturally friends. You know,
yeah. So she's like, well, why has everyone come down on her? And Erica goes,
well, because she's unpredictable in some ways.
And so
she's unpredictable. What the fuck are you talking about? You just started singing "It's Expensive to Be My Pussy" on top of somebody else's piano during their performance.
I would say that actually Sutton is the most predictable because you always know what's going to happen with her. You always know how she's going to react. She's going to like explode and get very like, now you listen right here, motherfucker. And then she's going to cry. And then she's going to say, I just sometimes put my foot in my mouth. It's just always the same arc with her.
Well, Garcelle's like, well, that's weird she's saying that because in Mexico they were so buddy-buddy. And she says, the truth is, Erica Jane is a liability walking around out there every day. Is there a more scandalous woman in America than Erica Jane?
Well, there certainly isn't another woman in America who has as big of a scarlet letter.
So Garcelle is just like, I think everyone just needs to lay off Sutton for a moment. And Erica says,
well, Sutton is the master of her own disaster.
Oh, excuse me, this is Shep. I would like to say she's the architect of her own demise. Thank you.
The master of a disaster, Ron. I'm an artist, you bitch.
Yeah,
so she's like, I know she's your friend, but you don't have to cover for her all the time. Speaking of covers, Noel.
So she's like, I don't cover for her. She goes,
well, I feel like sometimes you have to protect her, but you don't have to protect her. She's a big girl and she knows what she's doing.
What is she doing? And then the violin's like, like that horror movie squeak.
Yeah, and it just ends. They're like, well, we're done with the episode now.
Yeah, but next week, Rinna has Sutton over, and she's like, yeah, you know, I mean, it's just so funny. People think I'm such a fucking bitch, don't they? She goes, well, you are. And she's like, fuck you, I will cut you down!
That looks like it'll be funny. So anyway, thanks everyone for being here, for watching on Crap Is On Demand. We have, we're going to be doing a recap of Dubai coming up next. And then we also have Southern Charm and our bonus episode. So stay tuned for that. And remember,
no was
bye, everyone.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels,
Dana C.
Dana Do.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Wee McLovin, Karen McClellan.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
She's our queen, Marie Levine.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya. The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Erica, 500 Days of Summers. The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Hail the cork master, the master of the cork, it's Jennifer Corcoran.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
Paging Paige Mills, paging Paige Mills.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Better do what she says, it's Elva Enriquez. Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Kristen, the Ruby Rubano.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kutar. We love you guys.